The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can actually thrive. This is Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson.
Hi, everyone.
And we're both from the Recognition Management Institute. We are delighted today to have as our guest Kevin Hall, the author of Aspire, Discovering Your Purpose Through the Power of Words. Not only is this book getting rave reviews everywhere, but if you check out the ratings anywhere, and I mean anywhere, you're going to see this. This thing is lighting organizations and people up. I'm excited about having Kevin on the show, and I want to just go through a little bit about what he's done, although we won't cover half of it in this short bio. But he's a highly sought-after business consultant, a speaker, a coach, an author. And his book, of course, as I mentioned, was released by HarperCollins in January of just this year, and it's already received a lot of national acclaim and unprecedented positive reviews from readers and critics. He's been recognized for his groundbreaking approach to uncovering the hidden and often secret meaning of words. He's also credited with wordsmithing and trademarking the original slogan for the 2002 Olympic Winter Games, Ignite the Fire Within. He has been featured in Forbes, The Worth Magazine, Nation's Restaurant News, and on the Food Network. So, Kevin, thank you very much for your time. We are delighted to have you on our show.
Thank you. I'm just honored to be with you today.
Well, we realize you're very, very busy. You obviously have a book tour going on and so many other pieces going on. But let's just get right into it. And how did you first get the idea for the book Aspire? And even your this penchant for words and the meaning of words.
You know, it started with the test that the Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation, used to be called the Human Research Laboratory. Dennis Whately, one of my favorite authors, by the way, The Psychology of Winning, is still one of my all-time favorite self-help tape set, CD set now. He had recommended that I go get tested, and they test your unique gifts, not your personality, your unique God-given gifts, your natural gifts, and we were building a company. I was part of Franklin Quest that became Franklin Covey. I was fortunate to be over the sales and training side of the business, and I loved to market and speak and coach. But there was something missing, and I went down. This has been probably 15 years ago. Went to Los Angeles. They have 8 testing centers. One of the tests in that day and a half was a test called Ideaphoria. They gave me a word and said, start writing. I mean, I started writing, and then they gave me another word, and I filled up so quickly. Whatever thought, word, idea they gave me, they came back in. They couldn't believe it. They said, you have tested as high as anyone that we've ever tested. I was in the very top percentile of the hundreds of thousands of people that they had tested, which meant they said, you have a gift for writing. You should speak. You should market. You should sell. But above all, you should write. We were building a company that grew into a $500 million, half-billion-dollar company. When am I going to do that? And finally, about 5.5 years ago, I said, it's time to write. And I've always loved words. I don't think you can think higher than your vocabulary. And I didn't want just a large vocabulary. I wanted to get into words and what they really meant. And so that's where the journey began. And we all have gifts. And sometimes we hide them. You have a calling. You know what it is. It calls to you, but at times we just silence and put away. It'll keep coming back until you eventually say, I'm not going to do something with it, and just hide it, or you're going to seek out what that gift can do for others. And I'll tell you, it's opened up a whole world for me. Mm. It's been an incredible journey.
Well, Kevin, actually, that leads me to another question, because as I think about this great leap that you made, I'm sure a lot of listeners are trying to figure out, you know, they feel like there's a gift, or that we all have these different gifts, but how do we act on those things? You actually went out and did it. That takes a lot of guts. How would you suggest someone goes about taking this leap?
Dorothea Brand wrote a book in the early 1900s when women, quote, were not thought leaders, when they weren't supposed to write books. I don't quite understand that. I mean, they gave birth to all these men that were and trained them, but she wrote a book with a theme, and it ended up selling. In the early 1900s, female author, over 2 million copies, and the theme of the book was, act as if it were impossible to fail. That's what turns you from inertia to action, from failure to success. I was with a group last night. They asked that, what prevents me from doing what it is that I'm meant to do? And it's usually fear. And if we act as if it were impossible to fail, I had a lot of people say, you're writing a book. You know, I mean, I worked on it for 5 years, got real serious about it 2.5, 3 years ago, got even more serious about 1.5 years, even more 1 year ago. And they're saying, do you know what's happening to the publishing industry? Do you know what's happening? People aren't buying books. They're not selling books. I acted as if it were impossible to fail. And we had five of the biggest publishers in the world go to a two-day auction. They hadn't had an auction in New York for several weeks to buy the manuscript called Aspire. Mm-hmm. So if you follow your dreams and you tap into your gifts, that's the key, too. If you tap into what it is that you are uniquely meant to do, do it your way. I'm not Stephen Covey. I'm Kevin Hall. I love Stephen Covey. He worked with me on the book. He wrote the foreword. Mm-hmm. He told me we're going to sell 10 million books. When we went out, he said, you tell your publisher, and the publishers you meet with, you're going to sell 10 million books, because you will. And I remember thinking, well, if he thinks that, I better start thinking that. So yep. a big part of it is giving yourself permission to dream big, to do more.
Yeah.
When you give yourself permission to do that, that's why that first word in the book that we talk about, I think, is so important, because if we understood it across this planet that we live on, it changed the world that we live in.
Well, I want to get into that, actually. But before we do that, last week we had a guest. Her name is Monica Diaz. She writes about other esteem and expectations for others.
Mm.
It seems like what Stephen Covey did for you in saying, hey, I expect you to sell 10 million, actually gave you a higher or a loftier goal. Is that fair to say?
Oh, it is so critical. All of us at times, and I'm paraphrasing, we have a light go out. We might give up on ourselves or lose hope, or it gets a little dark that day.
Yeah.
And it's just that encounter with another human being. That's what I love about what you are doing, both of you. Appreciation, recognition. Recognition means to know again. How could you ever recognize someone if you didn't know them in the first place? A great leader. Mm-hmm. Leader means pathfinder. L-E-A is path. There is finder. The number one role of a pathfinder is to breathe, to inspire. Spire means breath. Our creator breathed life into our spirit. That's what gave us life. Mm-hmm. As a pathfinder, as a leader, as a human being, every day we have an opportunity to breathe life into others or their dreams, or to suck the air out of those life dreams. I've done it both ways, as a father, as a husband, as a business leader, and there's nothing like affirming someone. I mean, Stephen, he had a mother who would walk into his room before a big test. He shared that with me. He shared it in writing. Really worried. Very bright. Very cerebral. I mean, he's in the autumn of his life. He looks 50 or 60. It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But his mother would walk in, and he remembers being asleep and listening to her say, Stephen, you are so intelligent, Stephen. You can achieve anything that you want. You're going to do so well on this final tomorrow. I believe in you. I love you. She didn't know he could hear it. He heard every word.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided that would be his life work. That's the eighth habit, right? Find your voice and then inspire or help others do the same.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really what this is all about. It's about connecting with others and really helping people understand what that means. In fact, the subtitle to your book, you know, discovering your purpose through the power of words. We're coming up about 3 minutes to a break, but if in that time you could share with us a little bit, what does that mean to find your purpose? How does one find that? And you also mentioned, you know, of course, the first word of the book. So maybe there's a bunch of things here, and we'll have to go into the next segment to do it, but I'll just let you go for it.
The way you find your purpose is when you propose. Purpose comes from propose. I've been married 30 years. My wife and I will be married 31 years. I overmarried. If you've ever met my wife, Sherry, if you've met me, you'd know whoever married me, I overmarried. And I proposed, here's what we could do with our life. And she proposed what we could do if we brought our gifts together. When you have gifts for a reason. Gene Siskel, the At the Movies critic, I just got an email from his widow, Marlene, this morning, just a few hours ago. Talked to his daughter this week. The very first time we met, he said, Kevin, a talent wasted is a sin. Mm-hmm. It's not unrealized potential. You were given that gift for a reason. When we honor our gifts and when we share them with others, we honor the giver of those gifts. So you want to find your purpose? Propose what it is that you're going to do with your unique gifts. And this is my final thought before we take this break. In a forest of 100,000 trees, Sufi, the great poet, wrote, no two leaves are alike. Your path, your gifts, your purpose is as unique as your footprints, your fingerprints, your lap. There's 6.5 billion people on the earth. Every person is an unrepeatable miracle. So when we say dream big, do more, I'm really giving people permission, believe in yourself, mm-hmm. and give yourself permission to be yourself. So we can come back and talk a little bit more about believing in yourself and being yourself.
I love it. I love it. In fact, let's do that. I would also like to get into, you know, the story around some of these first words and how you came about on some of these things. Just a fantastic journey. So, folks, please don't go away. We're going to be right back after this short break. For now, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson with our guest Kevin Hall, author of Aspire, Discovering Your Purpose Through the Power of Words, and you're listening to The Real Recognition Radio on Voice America Business Channel. Please stay right there because we'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio, and with myself and Max Brown, and our guest today, Kevin Hall. Kevin, I was just starting to get into the book. Literally, I've just been traveling, got back, opened up my mailbox. There was your book. I was so grateful. I started reading it and obviously learned the first story about this coming across the word Genshai. Genshai and how that has impacted your life. Can you explain to our listeners how you came upon that word and its impact on you?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Thanks for asking. 5.5 years ago, I was in Vienna visiting with Viktor Frankl's family. Viktor is the author of Man's Search for Meaning. And if Stephen Covey were on this call, he would say that book, other than Sacred Writ, has had more impact on his thinking, his writing, his speaking, Seven Habits, than any book that he's ever read. And it's been recognized as one of the 10 most influential books of all time. And I was back to visit with Viktor's widow, Ellie, with his son-in-law, Franz, with his grandchildren, Alexander and Katerina, with a delegation. And that week, I walked where Viktor walked. I went to the flat where the Nazis came in the dark silence of the night.
Mm.
And they took, you know, with what we commemorated this weekend, and they took Viktor and his family, his bride, his unborn child, his mother, his father, his sister. He lost everything. They put them into cattle cars. I've stood at that flat. I've been in his home next to that door inside where he wrote 32 books. But the man who said, what is to give light must endure burning, he lived it. He lived. His haven was turned into a hell. And so I went to the gymnasium, the high school where he went to school. I walked the streets where he walked. I met his friends. We had dinner. I visited with his children, his wife. And my very last night in Vienna, I discovered a word. I went back to the center of Vienna in the St. Stephen's Cathedral. Beautiful picture there of a young Mother Teresa. Just gorgeous. The original Nike slogan, don't talk, just do. Do little things with great love. And I'd been there the first night. This was my sixth day there. And this was just before the end of the year. It was Christmas time there with all of the lights, and I went looking for gifts. And I have a daughter
mm-hmm.
who's a wedding designer, a fashion designer, and she was getting married in April. And I started to look, what could I get Susan and her husband Benjamin for their wedding? And here, within 50 cobbled steps from the exit to the St. Stephen's Cathedral, I'd been there the very first night, was a store called the India Store, with fabrics and linens. You looked through the window, it looked like a jewelry store.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just there in December again to go back and meet my dear friend Praveen. The proprietor of the store was a man by the name of Praveen Cherkori. He's a world-renowned Indian artist from India. He heard that I'd been with the Frankl family. He saw a pin that I was wearing with two hands coming together, the Statue of Responsibility that Viktor had envisioned to bookend Statue of Liberty on the East Coast, 300-foot statue. Within the next decade, you will see a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast.
Mm.
He saw that pin. We talked about it. He said, you've been here with the Frankl family. And he reached behind his desk, his little front area where people would check out and buy these incredible, beautiful fabrics. I'm looking at a quilt right here that came from his store. And he said, Kevin, you must be one of the greats. And he opened up this book that was nearly 2.5, 3 feet tall. When you opened it up, it was about 18, 20 inches wide. And he said, this is my book of greats. All the greats who've come through Vienna have signed this. And I looked down. There was Viktor Frankl's signature. He said, look, Viktor has signed this book. Mother Teresa had been through his store. Gandhi's son and daughter had signed it. And then he said, Kevin, would you sign this book? Now, I felt pretty good about myself, but not that good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't feel quite, you know, what is to give light must endure burning. There's Viktor Frankl, one of the great, the Viennese psychotherapist after Freud and Adler, Man's Search for Meaning author, Mother Teresa, Gandhi. And I said, I'm sorry, Praveen, I'm honored, but I can't sign your book of greats. He grabbed me by the elbow. We walked to a Chinese restaurant in the middle of Europe, where Vienna is. It sits almost right in the center of Western Europe. And here, two complete strangers, we had a conversation like we'd known each other our entire lives, felt like we had. He asked me this as we sat down. Because he said, I'm going to teach you a word. So I was starting to write the book. He knew I was. I was carrying a little journal around with me. He said, Kevin, I am dark-skinned. I'm from the East. You're from the West. You're light-skinned. What do you believe about me? I still remember this setting. I remember the smile that came on his face when I answered Pavilion, I believe you're my brother. We're created by the same creator. We're connected. And he said, that's what I believe also. And he said, let me teach you a word that my mother taught me in India. He grew up on the streets of Calcutta among the poorest of the poor. Through education and hard work, they got off the streets. And his mother taught him Gen Shai. It's an ancient tribal word. And it means you would never treat another person in a manner to make them feel small. Oh. He said, Kevin, this word might even have more depth than your Western word charity. And I thought, what word could have more depth than charity? When he said, it means you should never look at, touch, speak, address another person in a manner to make them feel small.
Wow.
It just, I remember just this electric feeling going through my body. Here I was looking for a gift, and it came in the form of a word. We feel so strong about that. You know, do we want to sell millions of books? Yeah, if it can impact lives. We want to impact lives. So we give that first chapter away on our website. I've asked HarperCollins. You can go to HarperCollins' website. The secret word chapter, that entire story, you can download that, read that, share that with as many people as you want. Because that one word could change the world. And then he taught me this.
Yeah.
Sorry to be so long-winded on this answer, and
I won't be that
long on the others. But he said, Kevin, there are three elements to Gen Shai. Don't ever treat somebody small. That's one. Two, don't let anyone treat you small. And three, and this was the most important one, he said, Kevin, don't treat yourself small.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you, when he said that, I went, I'm on this journey. We met for a reason. Because the way you treat others, well, the way I treat myself, that's reflected in the way I treat others. I don't see the world as it is. You and I don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have divinity within each of us. We have greatness within each of us. And we will attract into our life that which we believe. And I think two of the most powerful words put together are I am. We attract into our life that which we believe I am. And the word believe means to be love. In Indo-European, leave, L-I-E-V-E. And in several languages, it means love. So if I believe in myself, I love myself. You can't help somebody else find their path or discover their gifts until you love yourself enough to believe in yourself and discover your own path and propose what it is that you're going to do with your gifts.
Wow, that's a wonderful story and explanation for discovering words. And just very briefly, since we're going to be going to a short break soon, why do you think the meaning of words has become lost in today's world?
Boy, that's a great question, because here I discovered the secret word, and then within a week or two when I returned from Vienna, I met a man who taught me that all words have secrets.
Yeah.
Dr. Arthur Watkins, the master of words. He'll be 94 in June. On July 30th this year. You know, words and ideas and thoughts, they're not just something that pops into our head and then floats away or fades away. They're concrete things.
Mm-hmm.
Our words, our ideas, our beliefs, they shape our daily lives. And it helps people, I think, get out of this. Here's Viktor Frankl, aptly named. Words, ideas, beliefs can get you out of the victim mode.
Yep.
Because he was aptly named Victor, not... I was with his grandson in December, handed him a book. He hadn't seen the book yet. He turned to the page, and there was a subheading. It says Victor, aptly named. He chose to be a victor, not a victim. See, with words, here was Victor every night for 4.5 years, put with 5 men on a cot, 4 feet wide, on there to sleep on their side every hour. They were forced to turn over on the other side so they wouldn't freeze to death or die because they wanted to use them and abuse them.
Yeah.
And he said this as we close this segment, you can take anything away from man or woman. I think he meant woman as well. But the last of the human freedoms, the ability to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Your attitudes begin with the words that you choose to use.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so now I can understand why Viktor Frankl means more than just his philosophy, but there is this almost divine aspect to his name.
Oh.
In itself.
If you could meet his family, I hope you can. We're taking a group to Vienna to go sign the Book of Greats. I signed the Book of Greats in December, went back, Praveen opened it up. Guess where he turned? Viktor Frankl's signature. Mm-hmm. I said, can I just sign a blank page? And he said, Kevin, Genchai.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the most impactful moments because the light in Victor's eyes, the light in his wife's eyes, he lost his first wife, his unborn child, his mother, his brother. They tore up his manuscript. They said, you're not going to be Viktor. You're going to be prisoner number 119104.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And the man who'd become a number
became
a person. And he found meaning. His meaning was to help other people find meaning in their life. That's how he survived for 4.5 years of one of the most horrific experiences. I can't even fathom it to this day.
No, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I do revere his legacy, his life, and what he chose to do in those circumstances. His grandson said when he was with his grandfather, all he remembers is laughter and joy. When he used to eat at a restaurant, he would say often, not all the time, but would it be okay if I get up and clean my plate? And my silverware and my glass and dry it because I'm so grateful for the service you provide. Because he hadn't had a nutritious meal in 4.5 years.
Yeah.
He was one of gratitude and joy and meaning. That's how he lived his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, I feel you're giving us some greater insight beyond what our time's going to allow us today. But just even with the short sharings you have with these words and the experiences you've gone through, it certainly is an insight into why you're using the word aspire for the title of your book, and we thank you. We're going to take another quick break. Join us back in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we ask our guest, Kevin Hall, today some more about the power of words. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. Getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and Max Brown, and of course our guest Kevin Hall. Kevin, as you shared a couple stories there in that last segment, one of them that pulled out in my mind is I was actually a facilitator at the Parliament of World Religions Conference in Barcelona, Spain. We had many of the world's religious leaders there, but we were sitting on the Mediterranean where the Sikh religion had set up a tent where people could come and be fed. And you talked about the service of Viktor Frankl and how he wanted to clean up after his own plate. And we would sit in these tents with thousands of people in the room, and the leaders of the religion, of the Sikh religion, were there serving us, going row by row, bending over to give us food and to deliver food to people. So I was so touched by this service, this way of people serving others. You talk about namaste in the book, and I would love to hear about what does this mean going forward? How can we apply this in the workplace? And can you share a little bit more about what can we do tactfully?
Well, I got to tell you, when you just shared what you shared with this group, there's, you know, here's the second Eastern word. We talk about Genchai. Namaste could change the world. And when we embrace other cultures and learn from them, it is so enriching. It's good. People are really excited about the book, Aspire. And I say, you know what? I didn't come up with the words. Our creator came up with the words.
Yes.
And in that culture, in Zen Buddhism, in the East, you go through four studies. You go your physical study, your spiritual study, your mental study. There's four courses that they call that. When you've completed that, and that's what they were doing with you, I believe, their life, they view it as a supreme meal, if you can imagine that. A supreme meal, which means they offer it up in service to others. So that's what they were doing with you. They actually viewed their life as this complete supreme meal. How can I share it with you? So when we now come back to Namaste, I'm not a big yoga person, but I've been. I love to bike. I love to run, trail run. And I need to be more flexible. But at the end of a yoga class, they will often say, Namaste. Mm-hmm. Einstein wrote to Gandhi and said, what does that mean? It means I salute the divine within you. I salute your uniqueness. I salute your greatness. I salute what it is that you do best. And if in the organizations that we work with, in our families, in our home, in what we're doing, if we can salute the divine within, mm-hmm. not only others but ourselves, if we could do that with ourselves, wouldn't that change the world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you must be the change you wish to see in the world, Gandhi said. If you're in Nepal and you were going to demonstrate or signal Namaste. I was just taught this just recently by a gentleman named Sai who grew up in Nepal. He speaks seven languages. Nepali is his first language. Your left hand represents you, the human being, with your gifts. Your right hand represents your creator, the giver of those gifts. When you bring those two hands together, they bring them together in front of them, touch their thumbs and their fingers are extended, bring them flat together. You're basically saying, I'm whole. I'm taking my gifts. I'm bringing them together with the creator who gave me those gifts. And then they touch their mind or their third eye and they come down to their heart. And that is really saying, before I can salute the divine within others, I need to salute the divine within me. I don't care. We have six children. We have now we've been blessed with five grandchildren. I'll be 53 this year. We've got a young, fun, vibrant family. I've got a son who's graduating from high school this year. He's my mini-me. I love this kid. We have a daughter still at home, Sharwan, which means beautiful Indian princess. I don't care. I should probably more. I don't care what grades Connor or Sharwan get. I don't care what they do for a living. I don't care how much money they make. And as long as they make enough to finally move out of the house, I do care about that. But I do care that they discover their purpose, that they tie into their gifts.
Yes.
Because when they do, they will be the change that they wish to see the world. They'll never work another day of their life. So think of leaders in an organization, in a community, meeting other people. If every person that you met, if you said, what is their gift? What is their namaste? Mm-hmm. And do that authentically, the word authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from being yourself. That's exactly what it means. Hentes means being, and autos means self. So when you're authentic, you're just being yourself. And as a leader, how important is it to encourage people to be themselves? Do what you're great at. Enthusiasm means God within. It means God's gift within.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are excited and passionate. They're ageless. Stephen Covey's ageless. Dr. Gerald Bell's ageless. Harvey McKay, who I just did a call with the other day, he's ageless. These guys are going 75, 78, 80 years old because they found their gift. They tap into that God-given gift every day, and they're being themselves. They're not somebody else. I can't be Harvey McKay. He's a networker on steroids. I'm a connector. I like to network. But Harvey came out of the womb that way. He was probably slapping the nurses and the doctors. Great delivery. Give me your card. I'll get back to you. It's just what he was meant to be. Character, the word character, that came from something that was engraved on wood or stone or metal or even on someone's soul. Mm-hmm. Character is everything good and everything bad that's ever happened to you. But at Shakespeare's time, a character was a part, an actor. It was a part that someone played in a play. Instead of being who you were, mm-hmm. it was who you were not.
Mm.
And so I think the biggest thing that you can do, real, this is real recognition, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Help them be real. Help them be authentic. Create a safe environment where you can say, be free to be yourself. If I could, and I'm only great, but I am great mm-hmm. at a handful of things, maybe only two or three things. But what if I could spend 80% of my time? You don't have to change jobs. Mm-hmm. You just need to change your approach. What if I could spend 80% of my time? That's what I'm doing here. I get paid whether I'm writing, speaking, coaching. I coach a handful of Olympic athletes or CEOs or executives or leaders or going in as a business consultant to a business. I get paid to help people discover their purpose and fulfill it. My dream is to help people realize their dreams. I get to do that every day. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm meant to do. Mm-hmm. What if we could spend 80% of our time and encourage those around us to be who they were meant to be? Nature works, but nature doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's just natural. You'll know what your gifts are. You can encourage others to discover what those gifts are because you say, I'd do it for free. Mm-hmm. Somebody called me yesterday and said, we've got now an Aspire Leadership Forum that's starting in Arizona. There were 20 people together at 7 in the morning in Arizona. And they called and said, would you just join our call for 20 or 30 minutes? We've got a little book club. We're going to review your book. I couldn't wait to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't make any money from doing that, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You look at others and breathe life into them or their dreams and encourage them to be authentically who they were meant to be. Mm-hmm. And you've got to start with you first. Because you know someone who's authentic, and you know very quickly someone who's not.
Well, Kevin, I think that actually leads to an important question, which is a lot of listeners today will be thinking, what about that leader who's not authentic or that person who drives by ego? Or they throw out a lot of fluffy words, but they don't stand by it. You know, even in our own industry, there's an indictment, I think, on the industry where people say, recognize a lot. But that isn't actually true. We need to actually do it with this authenticity you're talking about, which is why we call it real recognition.
Yeah. That's why I'm here today. I love your mission. I love what you're doing, that real, authentic recognition. It's not the slogan of the month that's on the warehouse wall.
That's right.
Or in
right.
the office. Because people say, oh, that's the theme of the day, the slogan of the month, the flavor of the week.
Yeah.
It's that consistent, sustainable, we treat people with respect. The word appreciate, if you surround yourself with appreciators, any word generally, not every word, but 95% of words in any language, it starts with an AP. Mm-hmm. And preach is price. They're people that add value to others. They add value to their lives. Norman Brinker, who just died, he was the founder of Chili's, mm-hmm. Steak and Ale. Brinker International was an Olympic athlete, married Maureen Sullivan, was the great Wimbledon champion in her teens. She died of cancer. He helped start the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. I was just in his home. I stayed in his home last year, just a few weeks before he died. He was being honored, came down to visit with him. Norman Brinker, the first time I met him several years ago, Stephen Covey gave me an introduction to Norman. Mm-hmm. Was at his ranch. When he looked at me and started he's my example for Genshai. I had him sign my book. At the end of each chapter in my book, you have an opportunity to honor the person that represents that word. He was it for me. Mm-hmm. Because the first time I met him, I thought he mistook me for somebody. I kept looking behind me. He treated me like I was the most important person on the planet, and I was to him that day. And we created a great relationship. But then I found out, when he was honored that night and through several other encounters, that's how he treated everyone. When he walked into one of his thousands of restaurants, he created the salad bar. He created fajitas that are coming off that plate at Chili's. He had vision personified. But I'll tell you what he had. He had authenticity. He went to the busboy. He went to the pot washer, the dishwasher, the hostess, and said, how are you? Mm-hmm. What's going on in your life? Are you enjoying it here? Are we treating you well? Mm-hmm. He would miss flights because he was having a conversation with the most important person in the world. The person he was talking to that moment. That is Genshai. That is Namaste. That's a true pathfinder.
Mm. Kevin, I just love where this is going, and unfortunately we're bumping up against another break. But when we come back, I really hope that we could actually talk a little bit around how can we help people in the workplace who maybe don't live under such ideal circumstances, if you will. You know, how do they influence maybe that leader who isn't so caring, really, and it really what you're describing for me is just this wonderful connection for people that really want to reach out to others in an authentic way.
Yeah.
Maybe if we could help people understand, is there hope and give them that hope, particularly in this tough economy, stressful times, let's just come back and do that if we could.
When we come back, let's talk about being the difference between being a thermometer and being a thermostat.
Okay.
Excellent. Folks, be right back. We'll come back right now for Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. Getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to continue our conversation today with Kevin Hall, our guest today, and learn some final pointers on the power of words. And as I listen to your experience and your passion around the power of words, I'm very aware, as you are too, that many leaders don't do that. So how can we get leaders to motivate their people through the power of words?
You know, it isn't the title that makes you a leader. It's being in tune to your senses. What mm-hmm. do you feel? What do you taste? What do you touch? What do you see? What do you hear? Nelson Mandela got his moral authority on that mat, on that cold, solid stone floor for 27 years
uh-huh.
at Robben Island. Gandhi had no formal authority, but he changed his little part of the world. And so you do it with your life. Sometimes we say, well, I can't quite do it in this organization. I have a boss. So our culture, the founder, the CEO, the vice president's always trying to, you know, knock me down. It doesn't matter what other people do or say. It really doesn't. Again, remember what Victor said, you can take anything away from me. And they did. They took it all away.
Yep.
But you can't take away my ability to choose my attitude, to choose my words, to choose my leadership approach in any given set of circumstances. My mother gave birth to two boys and was divorced and a single mother as a teenager. I was the second son. Grew up pretty poor. Had a great bringing up. But my mother was an alcoholic. She overcame that. She became a great drug and alcohol abuse counselor, but it was not immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother, my grandmother, who I love to death and cherish her memory, but she never overcame alcoholism. So let's talk about leadership there. Some people didn't get a great parenting experience, and they can say, oh, my parents treated me poorly, so I can treat everybody else poorly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or my boss treated me poorly, so I'm going to treat everybody else poorly. Well, that's a choice that you make. My mother, unfortunately, was told by my grandmother, her mother, she could never marry the right person. She could never get the right job. She could never cook that meal just right. She could never, ever, in her mother's eyes, do anything quite right. And I don't know what caused her to do this, but she broke the chain with me and my brother. And I get emotional just thinking about my dearly departed mother. She died of cancer at her home several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as a boy, she would pick my chin up. From 5, 6, 7 years old, she'd look me in the eye and she would say, Kevin, you will do great things in your life. You will achieve every dream. And I don't think she even believed it for herself, Roy, sometimes.
Yeah.
But she said, as long as you leave other people better for having met you. We're all a part of those that we meet. That's what Woodsworth wrote. We won't be the same after this experience, because hopefully someone listening, if there's one idea, one concept, one thought that could impact their life, it's been worth it for all of us. So as a leader, it doesn't matter what the culture is, doesn't matter what other people are doing, it matters what you're doing. You can break whatever chain is there that moment and say, okay, I have a choice. I can leave others better for having met me. I can breathe life into their dreams. I can encourage. Encourage, E-N is E-N, core, C-O-U-R in French is heart. I can add to people's heart, or I can rip a part of that heart away. It doesn't matter what others are doing to me. And I know, I've just read what you put on your blog. Those that do encourage, often they're not being encouraged. It's one of the, it is the most important attribute of a leader. If you call yourself a leader, if you want to be a leader, all you got to do every day is say, I'm going to breathe life into others' of their dreams, or I'm going to add to their heart. If every person that you met, you pictured them as a heart or a set of lungs, you take whatever analogy works for you. I'm going to add to their heart, I'm going to breathe life into them and their dreams. That's what a leader is. That's what Stephen Covey did with me with this book for 4.5, 5 years. And he's turned out to be prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
As a leader, you can create self-fulfilling prophecies for yourself and others. My mother did it with me.
I was going to say, yeah, that was very humbling for you to really think that your mom gave you that message
when she
not knowing. Not knowing.
She was not getting it. I had a man come up at her funeral, Roy. Tall, dark, handsome, looked like a movie, looked like Rock Hudson. And he walked in and he said, Kevin, it's like, you know, your mother changed my life.
Huh.
I've been going to AA meetings the last 2 Wednesdays at Renaissance Ranch out here in Bluffdale, Utah, to really experience what people go through and listen to their stories. And he said, in my darkest hour, your mother believed in me when I didn't believe in myself, when I was going to take my life. I mean, holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, big events for families, for addicts.
Yeah.
People die that time of year. And I remember year to year to year, Mom, did we lose anybody this week? That's how intense it gets, because everybody wants it to be perfect when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And she saved lives by breaking the chain and not saying, Kevin, you can't do enough. You'll never marry the right. But she loves my wife, loved her to death. It was my wife who said, please, could your mother come and live with us? Can we take care of her for those last 9 months of her life?
Mm-hmm.
So see, you can break the chain.
Wonderful. You speak of the word humility in your book and that we perhaps misunderstand it. Can you expand a little bit about that and how we can apply that?
You know, let's finish with that, because I think, Roy, let's talk about two of the most misunderstood words in all of language. The first is humility. It's not being passive. It's not being submissive. You don't slump your shoulders, bow your head, and walk around subservient with downward glances. If you have humility, it's about being teachable and coachable. It implies a continual commitment to learning and growing and expanding. It's living life in crescendo. It means my greatest work is always ahead of me. Humility comes from humus, not hummus. It's not what you eat. It's what you plant things in so you can eat them.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Humus, H-U-M-U-S. It's that rich, dark, organic soil. Mm-hmm. We won't grow or develop. And we won't allow anyone else around us as a leader to grow or develop without sufficient humus, without sufficient humility. Because if that soil is rich, and I'm teachable, and I'm coachable, and I want to learn and improve, we have to unlearn things to learn new things.
Right.
When you plant that seed in that fertile soil, it will come up under, around, through any obstacle, any rock, anything that's placed in its way. If the soil is fertile enough, it'll come up under and around. Leaders are readers. Readers are leaders. Earners are learners. Learners are earners. We mm-hmm. profiled our top salespeople at Franklin who sometimes made 10, 15, 20, some 100 times more than our lowest performers. The one thing that we found, the one dynastic difference was they read 2 books a month. Stephen Covey, I was just in his home filming him. He reads a book a day. He scans a book a day. When we showed up, he said, Kevin, I read your book again last night. We've got a lot to do.
Right.
But he lives life in crescendo. His motto is live life in crescendo, meaning your greatest work is always ahead of you. That's humility. I'm teachable. I'm coachable. I want to be more. I want to do more. You have that trait. That's the mother of all virtues. If you have that and you encourage those around you to have it, there's nothing that you can't do. And then you couple that with passion, the other most misunderstood word. Mm-hmm. People think it's lust or romantic love. Passion is love, but it's being willing to suffer for what you love. Just a few weeks ago in Europe, they were reenacting. They have passion plays
all over
Europe.
Yes.
To reenact passion. Am I really willing to suffer for what I love? Suffering, sometimes we view that as a really painful thing. Suffering isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it as a victor, if you do it not as a victim, passion can be a sacred thing. It can be a life-defining thing. When we decide what it is that we're willing to pay a price for,
mm-hmm.
that also is where we discover our life's mission and our purpose. What is it? Sacrifice? Sacra means sacred. Fice is to perform. If I'm sacrificing for what I love most, if I'm mm-hmm. willing to suffer for what I love most, that's to perform the sacred.
Yeah.
It is life-defining. It can and should be a good thing, a noble thing, a sacred thing. So again, passion. People, I'm passionate about this. Are you really? If you're that passionate about those gifts that you have and what you say is important, are you going to do it when times get bad? Times are tough right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad life's difficult because it brings change, and change creates growth. And Max and Roy, those are words from one of my dear mentors, Art Berg.
Oh, right.
Who said it over and over and over again. I'm glad I'm paralyzed. I'm glad that life brings adversity, because that adversity brings change. Opposition brings change, and change creates growth. If you're willing to suffer for what it is you're really willing to suffer and what you really love, you will pay the price. You will do whatever it takes. It's not willpower, it's want power. I want this enough that I'm willing to sacrifice and change my lifestyle to get what it is that I want. And if you can teach that to those that you work with, if you can model that in your life, wow, your whole life just, it opens up and it broadens and the limits go away.
Wow. Kevin, this has been an inspiring and enlightening show for us today, especially
yes.
as we look at the whole power behind words. Certainly going to cause me to look more carefully at the meaning of words. Thank you for being on the show with us today. if there was a way in which people wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
You know, I have my email address right in the book.
Uh-huh.
And I get dozens, sometimes hundreds of emails every day or every other day. It is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, at powerofwords, plural, powerofwords.com. Or you can go to our website, www.powerofwords.com. Somebody wants to download that first chapter, The Secret Word, and get a sense for Aspire. We all aspire. We want to do more. It's just built into our DNA, into our spirit. And again, this book isn't about me. I feel a little self-conscious. I didn't come up with the words. Our creator came up with the words, and I just tried to share them the best that I can. And we're thrilled with the feedback that we're getting because of one idea, one thought today in the book. Whether I'm speaking or writing, consulting or coaching, if it can have an impact, then it's been time well spent. And I just want to tell both of you what you're doing is just so important. With the negativity that's out there, to have real recognition, to have positive programs like this, where you really are breathing life into each other and others and encourage them to be their best. I wish we had more of that. I'd say if you're not in the news, don't watch the news.
That's right.
There's not a whole lot good. That's a good friend of mine just taught me that just this week. You know, so the best way to live the ideal future is to create it. Take that vision of what you want. Viktor Frankl never gave up in the death camps his vision of speaking at universities and changing lives and being a great psychotherapist. He wrote his book 9-10 days after he came out. He harnessed the adversity that took place in his life. And he used it as a launching pad. And that's, I think, what we can do in these difficult times, because there are going to be difficult times. Path means to suffer. When you walk your path, you are going to suffer. But what can we learn from it? So anybody needs any help with anything, you email me, kevin@powerofwords.com. I will respond. I'll get back to you within a day or two. I guarantee. I'll get an hour's less sleep.
Wonderful.
To do that.
Thank you so much. Your offer and for your kindness today and sharing the power of words and Aspire. We love to have these discussions like this. We'd love to also ask our listeners for their feedback by emailing us at feedback@realrecognition.com so we can share some of those comments and also kind of inspire you along the way in being able to give Real Recognition Radio. Tune in for our next show where Max and I will be meeting with Governor Arne Carlson and Kevin Cronin, the president of the Recognition Professionals International, as we explore perspectives and trends in recognition. Thank you for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, visit us at realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson and my colleague Max Brown wishing you a wonderful day and asking you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.